Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul. Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday, July 14th, and I'm glad that you're listening in, and I want to share some things from you tonight for you tonight about being led by the Spirit of God. This has just been on my heart for several months. I can't seem to get away from it. In fact, I was asking the Lord today, what do you want me to share with the folks that listen in on Wednesday nights? And he said, about my leading you. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to share the things that how God's leading me and how he wants to lead you. So get your pen and paper with you, get your Bible, and turn off the cell phones and other distractions, and just focus in for the next few minutes, and this will benefit you and help you. I'm going to pray with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your presence. We acknowledge you. You said if we do that in Proverbs 3, in all our ways we'd acknowledge you, you'd direct our path. We thank you for doing it. We trust you. We call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to ask you a question. What's the difference between a child of God versus a son of God? What's the difference between a child of God versus a son of God? Well, we'll see clearly in Scripture, as you think about that, that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, specifically, God makes it clear that he is not just interested in getting people saved and birthing babies spiritually, so to speak. But what God is interested in is very clear here in Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 10. And so here the scripture says, for it was fitting for him, God, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. So in that phrase, you hear what God's plan is, God's goal is. He wants to bring many sons to glory. And he says sons, not children. So God is interested in maturing those who get born again or birthed as babies, but he wants them to mature into becoming sons of glory. And the difference is spiritual maturity. And spiritual maturity is not automatic. It isn't, you know, how long you've been a Christian does not determine how mature you are in the spirit. So God has a goal in mind for all of us, and that spiritual maturity is defined in a way that I'm going to show you in Scripture in just a little bit. God makes it clear what spiritual maturing and maturity is. God doesn't want us to remain spiritually immature as children. He wants us to have the freedom that a son has. You think about this. A child in a family does not have the same freedom that a mature child or an adult child has in the family, an adult son or adult daughter. So he doesn't have the liberty because he's immature. He can't drive a car. If he's a baby, he can't feed himself, can't clothe himself, change himself, things like that. But a mature son has a lot more liberty, can drive a car, can feed himself, can earn money, and so forth like that. And so the same thing is true in the spiritual realm, where there's a greater liberty that God wants you and I to experience as we mature spiritually. So what is the chief mark of a maturing son? Well, there's several marks that Scripture points out, signs of a maturing son or daughter of God. One of them is being an overcomer. In Revelation 21, we are learning to be overcomers. We overcome our flesh. We overcome Satan. We overcome the world. Another indicator is when you learn to deny yourself certain pleasures that you know are not in the will of God for your life, self-separation, self-sanctification, so to speak, saying no to your flesh. That's a sign of you are maturing as a son of God. But the chief scripture that I want to point out to you tonight is Romans 8:14. And it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And actually in the scripture, It's saying these are the mature sons of God. Those who are being led by the Spirit, that is a sign of spiritual maturity, is the way God describes that there. That word led is an interesting word in the Greek. New Testament was written in Greek. So in the Greek language, this word led means to move or to impel or to almost push you forward to some degree. And so the more a son or daughter of God is led by the Spirit, the more they are mature in God's eyes. So what's the motive? You know, we have to always check our motives. Sometimes you say, well, I think God's leading me to do this. I think he may be leading me to do that. And sometimes, you know, it may be difficult to discern at the moment. Is this really something God wants me to do, or is this just my thought that comes to me? And so you check your motives primarily in three ways. First, is it coming out of a pure motive of love? I mean, am I doing what I'm about to do? Is it an act of pure love? Is it the love of God, the love of God the Father? Would it be pleasing to God? And then is it in the will of God for me to do this according to the Word, according to Scripture? And so you have to check your motives constantly, because we can easily go astray with our thoughts. So as you mature spiritually, you're going to become more and more like your Father. It's true also in the physical realm. They say that the longer you live with someone under the same roof, the more you become like them and they become like you. You begin to speak the same words, speak the same language, and do some of the same things. You may even walk the same way, and so forth. And so as a son that's in constant communion with the Lord, you're going to resemble him more. People are going to begin to notice the characteristics about you that make them think of the Lord, that you resemble the Lord. And what a great compliment that is when people begin to notice that and tell you those things. So as you mature spiritually, you're going to become and resemble more and more like the Father, or more like Jesus. So the difference is that there's a servant and there's a son. And a son has the DNA of the Father in him, where a servant is doing things to get something in return, working, let's say, to get a paycheck or something like that. A servant only serves for wages. We all need to serve the Lord, but we need to make sure we're serving the Lord in the strength of being a son. And that way, you know, we're not concerned about the wages. We're not concerned about whatever. You know, a servant and a son, they work differently. A servant will work, you know, from 8 to 5, and but 5 o'clock he's done because he's off the clock. He's not getting paid for it. But a son will work to please the Father. He'll work until he gets the job done. He's not concerned about the clock. He's not concerned about the pay. He's concerned about pleasing the Father. And so the key here is for us to, as we mature, is to learn how to let God lead us by the Spirit of God. He'll lead us. Okay, we're born again. His Spirit is in us. And if we're open to him and we'll be listening for him, his thoughts often come into our mind in the form of a thought. And it's not like a voice you hear in your ear. So you hear a thought that comes from God, and you have to immediately ask yourself, well, how do I know this thought? Maybe to go and stop, help that person whose car broke down on the highway. How do I know that thought is from God and not just me? Well, that's a good question. And there are just four brief standards or four tests that you can quickly throw up and then make a judgment call after that. Was this from God or was it from me? And so how do you know if God's leading you with a thought that comes into your mind? Number one, is it absolutely honest? Is it absolutely honest? There's no deceit involved in it. Number two, is it absolutely pure? The motive that I would have to help or do something is a pure motive. I'm not trying to get something in return. I'm not trying to look good and things like that. Number three, is it unselfish? Has nothing to do with my benefit or my convenience. And number four, will it please God? If I do this, will it please God? Yes or no? Now, after that, and I mean, everything's not always clear at that moment when you're trying to decide was that thought from God or not. But if it fits those four brief standards, then I would proceed with that. Take the risk to find out. You sometimes don't know God is leading you until after the fact. And sometimes you may not know that God's leading you at all at the moment, and you wind up being at the right place at the right time, and just God has ordained your steps and your stops. So there's a degree of risk involved, and there's a degree of trust, okay? Hebrews 11:6 says that the only way we can please God is by faith, and faith is simply trusting God. You know, you might throw up a flare prayer at that moment and say, God, I don't know if this is you or not, but it meets the standards of that. Number one, I'm honest in my heart. I don't have any deceit here about wanting to help or do something for somebody. I have a pure motive. It's unselfish, not going to benefit me. And I believe it would please you if I do that. Then you take the risk. You go ahead and take the step. And then you're going to have to trust, you know, the Lord is leading you. And if for whatever reason he's not leading you, you'll learn from it. And you'll discern from it, and you'll mature through the whole process. All of us have to mature the same way. We have to try things, to take a risk, dare to speak up to somebody. Maybe the Lord is impressing upon you to, you're sitting in a doctor's office, and there's a person there, and you spot them, and there's just some reason they just keep, you know, your attention's drawn to them. And you just kind of feel in your heart that you'd like to talk to them about the Lord, but you don't know how to get a conversation started. You're not really sure how to do. This is a perfect stranger, but you're just feeling compassion in your heart toward them. So what do? Well, you pray. You talk to the Father right there in your heart. Lord, do you want me to talk to this person? Do you want me to witness to them? Do you want me to try to start up a conversation with them? And, you know, you just wait for in your heart for any type of leading. And if you meet those requirements, is it honest, is it pure, is it unselfish, and will it please God, then you take the next step and try something. Just engage in conversation and see where it will go. Or it may be that, you know, it's not convenient to talk to that person in the midst of the doctor's office in the waiting room with everybody, so that person getting ready to leave, they go out the door, you follow after them and say, excuse me, can I talk to you for a second? I've had this happen several times. And I say to them, you know, I don't know if you're a believer in the Lord or not, but I am. And I felt like the Lord just wanted me to let you know that he just loves you deeply, and he wants you to let him use your life and so you can be fruitful. And many times the people will say, well, wow, thank you. Or sometimes I've had people tear up and say, wow, that means so much. You have no idea. You know, or sometimes people shrug it off as if like you're a kook, and you know, but you obeyed. You took a risk. You took a step. You stepped out of your comfort zone, and you did what you thought was pleasing to God. And believe me, even if God wasn't leading you, he is very pleased at the fact that you spoke up and was trying to be his witness. And that is a step of maturity. And then after that, if you begin to trust the Lord and dare to risk and dare to speak up and dare to just step out there, no doubt you'll strike gold. You'll have moments where God has led you, and you'll have phenomenal testimonies to share about being in the right place at the right time and how God just gave you the courage to speak up to someone and he used you. And that will increase in your life. You want these divine appointments. You want these stories that you heard happen in other people's lives to happen in your life. God's not a respecter of persons. What he's done for one, he'll do for you. But you've got to start today, right now, with saying, that's it. I want God to lead my life. God, I want you to lead my life. Now, help me to pay attention and stay open to the variety of ways in which you'll talk to me and lead me today. So God wants to lead you more than you want to be led. And the fact is, he will, but he's got to have something to work with. So, you know, it starts with a thought in your mind that comes from the Lord, and then you take it to the next level. God's responsibility, according to Psalm 16:11, is this: He will make known to you the path of life. God will let be known to you the path or the next step of life that He has for you. That's His responsibility, not yours. Yours is to listen. Yours is to be led. And so it's time that we get on with maturity and having the adventure that God intended for us to have all along when we first came to Christ. We're no longer babies. Now we're maturing to where we can be led by the Spirit of God as we minister and out into our world. And that's when the adventure begins. That's when the fun starts to happen. That's when you have stories to tell, to talk about for the rest of your life. Well, I want to encourage you tonight to listen to God, ask God to lead you, trust that He will, and then there'll be moments during your week where you need to step out in faith and take a risk and go with God and see what happens. And that's how we mature in the Lord. Father, I thank You for this word. I pray You greatly encourage my brothers and sisters as we mature together in following Jesus and let You lead us. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Good night. I look forward to seeing you this Sunday. Bye-bye, everybody.